Welcome to Crown of Life Baptist Church.
The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave his son to win. His erring child he reconciled and pardoned from his sin. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade,
Good morning, Central Indiana. You're listening to Pastor Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church, currently meeting at the Cambria Hotel Noblesville. We invite you to join our Sunday morning service at 10 o'clock, preparing hearts to embrace God's Word and desiring His coming kingdom. God is calling sinners to the cross, and He is calling believers to the crown. Enjoy today's program with Pastor Greg DeZula. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life.
This morning's message is a series of messages entitled The Intermediate State Between Death and the Rapture. This message is going to rock your world and rattle your preconceived notion of where the dead in Christ reside until the Lord's return. There is no shortage of false teachings about Christ and the Holy Bible in our current age of apostasy. The Apostle Paul, in his second letter to Timothy, urges him and every disciple to study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Can being ashamed at the judgment seat of Christ be a reality for the lazy studier? Apparently so. That means, well done, thou good and faithful servant, may not be the words they hear at the judgment, but instead, thou wicked and slothful servant. A sad indictment indeed. There is a truth you are going to learn in this series that requires an in-depth study of the authoritative Word of God, and it will change your understanding of where the dead are at this very moment. You then will discover how misguided we have all been by oversimplified exegesis of the Scriptures by lazy students of the Bible. This series will answer the question of where you, who love Christ will be upon your death and the death of all those who have gone before us. For example, slowly read and then note this simple thought Jesus leaves his disciples shortly before his crucifixion, burial, and resurrection in John 14, verse 2 and 3. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, and where I am, there ye may be also. Without any pretense, please notice that when he comes again, then will we who are in Christ be with him and no sooner. Enjoy this morning's message as we go digging for precious nuggets of scriptural understanding. This is part 4.
And they cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given unto them, every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. They are at a rest. They are under the earth, under the altar. It says under the altar, not in heaven, but under the altar, which is the earth. The earth is in the outer courtyard, and it speaks of the earth. Verse 4 is a pattern of the true. Number 4 in your notes, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. Acknowledgement that all things shall bow the knee at Christ under the earth. There it speaks again, under the altar, under the earth. Number 5. The following event takes place after the pre-tribulation rapture. No man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. Turn your Bibles there. You should still have them open. But chapter 4 and chapter 5 take place after the church age. It's a picture of the pre-tribulation rapture. Verse 1 of chapter 4 says, After this I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven to John. John is speaking here. And the first voice which I heard was as it were a trumpet talking with me. That's the last trump. That's the trumpet of God. That's the voice of the archangel. That's Christ calling. That's speaking of the rapture coming up. The dead in Christ are called up. Those who are living are transformed. Talking with me, which said, Come up hither, and I will show thee things that must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the spirit and beheld the throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. What heaven? What heaven? It's not the third heaven. It's the throne that he sets in the air. In the air when he comes down to the clouds. And then he calls up all those in Christ, comes up and raptures us out. That throne is not the throne that's next to the heavenly Father, the one that's sitting at the right hand of the Father. This is His throne, he's sort of an itinerant throne. He's coming down. He sets up a pavilion. Now I'm going to read you a bunch of passages, and you write down these references and go back and look at them. but he sets up a pavilion or a tabernacle in the sky. And the Antichrist knows that all that Christ and his saints are up there during the tribulation period. And so everything here that's taking place in verse chapter 4 and chapter 5 is in the pavilion, the tabernacle in the clouds, where the judgment seat of Christ is taking place. Jesus is no longer sitting at the right hand of the Father. These are my notes. You don't find them in your notes. Write down Psalm 18:11 in your notes. I'll read it to you. You look it up at a later date. He made darkness his secret place. His pavilion round about him was dark waters and thick clouds of the sky. His pavilion, speaking of the Lord, he made darkness his secret place. His pavilion round about him were dark waters and thick clouds of the sky. That's Psalm 18:11. Psalm 27:5. For in the time of trouble, that's speaking of the tribulation period, he shall hide me in his pavilion, David is saying. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. The day, the time of trouble is the day of trouble. It's the tribulation period. It's another reference. It's another name for the tribulation is the Jacob's trouble. The day of trouble used in Jeremiah. Day of trouble. Jacob's trouble, find those things in Jeremiah. But here in Psalm, it's called the time of trouble. He shall hide me. He's speaking to all of us and all those in the grave who know Christ. He shall hide me in his pavilion, in the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. Psalm 31:20, thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence. Thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence from the pride of man. Thou shalt keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. What is that a direct reference to? Turn your Bibles to Revelation 13:6. Revelation 13. We have the revealing of the Antichrist, the beast that comes up out of the sea, and the beast that comes up out of the earth that are spoken of here in Revelation 13. And starting at verse 1, and I saw, and I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads, 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. Now jump to verse 6. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy. Here it is. Against God. To blaspheme his name. Here it is. And his tabernacle, pavilion. David uses the word pavilion. And them that dwell in heaven. The Antichrist. And possibly everybody on the earth will know that Christ and his saints will be in this pavilion that will be hidden by the clouds. And they will have no way to access. They could shoot all the bombs they want at it, and those bombs will have no effect on that pavilion in the sky. Now, some think it may be the New Jerusalem. I've heard some preachers say that it'll be the New Jerusalem that will be suspended in the sky, in the clouds. I don't take that, you know, I can hold on to that. That's not that far-fetched. But it says here a tabernacle, a pavilion. It's a temporary place of judgment. What's an itinerant judge? Who was an itinerant judge in Scripture? Who was an itinerant judge? Means one that traveled around. Samson. But Samuel, he traveled from city to city in Jerusalem, judging the land in different providences of Israel. And he was highly respected, and he was considered, today we use the circuit court judge. You've heard that term, circuit court judge. It means he had a circuit. The judge used to travel a circuit and sit in different benches in different communities. Well, that's what this is. This is a circuit court. It's a transient, itinerant court that Christ sets up for the judgment seat of Christ. Notice the Father is not there. So that throne in Revelation 14 is in the first heaven in the clouds. Because it's not speaking of the Father. You just see Christ sitting upon a throne. Number 6 in your notes. Jesus gives a sign about his own death and resurrection. Okay, here it is. Key passage, for as Jonas, or Jonah, was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. His body, physical body, was entombed in the sepulcher of Joseph, and his soul went into the heart of the earth. It went down into paradise, or the Abraham's bosom. Jonah, his body was entombed in the whale, and some of you have heard my message. Did Jonah die? I say he did. Jonah died. His body was entombed in the whale, but he cried from hell. Look at number 7 in your notes there. Jonah's body was entombed in the whale's belly, but his soul was in hell, because he said, I cried by reason of my affliction, my torment, unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. Because of his disobedience, God threw Jonah and dipped him in hell. And put him there for 3 days. His soul was in hell. His body was entombed in the whale's belly. And Jesus uses that reference as a sign of Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. And said, just as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Jesus was resurrected. Jonah was resurrected. God is showing that resurrection is found in the book of Jonah. The Jonah was speaking of resurrection. And Jonah cried from hell, just like the rich man cried from hell to Abraham, because his body was torment. Number 8, combine the heart of the earth mentioned above with the statement, and we see that the soul of the saints and Jesus' soul went to paradise, Abraham's bosom, in the center of the earth. Luke chapter 23. And he, the thief on the cross, said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. That's where we get the heart of the earth is paradise. So there's a paradise in the third heaven, and there's a paradise under the earth. There's hell under the earth, and there's a paradise under the earth. There's two compartments in the subterranean parts of the earth. Now, that's not far-fetched, because we teach what? There's two Jerusalems, right? There's a heavenly Jerusalem, and there's an earthly Jerusalem. Only Christ has resurrected and ascended into heaven. Jesus is the only one who is capable of spanning the gap between paradise and hell. Remember the fourth man, which was the Son of God in the Nebuchadnezzar's fiery furnace. For Christ also has once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison. I taught you this before. The prison here is hell. Hell is synonymous with this prison. There's two other places in Scripture where the prison is synonymous with hell, which sometimes were disobedient when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was a-preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls were saved by water. Jesus, he went to paradise, but it was nothing for Jesus to go into hell because the fires could not hurt him. He could not be corrupted by the fires. He could not be destroyed and tormented by the fires because of his holiness. And as he was in the fiery furnace for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, he pulled them out of the fire and presented them before the king unharmed, so he could go into hell and preach to those who are tormented in hell. In 2 Peter chapter 3, it says, if we continue on there, or not 2 Peter, 1 Peter, the rest of verses 21 and 22, I'll read them to you. We've read these before because we compared baptism to Noah and the ark. The like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience towards God, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who is gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him. Verse 10, notice Jesus did not go to heaven until he was first resurrected. No man hath ascended up to heaven. This is the Lord is saying this, the Lord Jesus Christ. No man has ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. This was true when Jesus made this statement. It was true before Jesus came, and it is true to this very day. He is the only one who is in the third heaven, sitting at the right hand of the Father, still sprinkling his blood upon the mercy seat. And until the high priest came out of the temple, and when they saw the high priest, they rejoiced. But no one goes into that holy of holies except for the high priest. No one goes into the third heaven except for the Lord Jesus Christ, the holy of holy places. And I'm not done. There's more to be proved out. But the understanding is there's a place of rest for the soul. It's not soul sleep, as some of you may have heard, the expression soul sleep, but it's a place of rest. As Lazarus was comforted in the bosom of Abraham, so shall we be comforted. And then the soul will meet the body and ascend to the clouds to meet the Lord in the air at the day of rapture. Does that make sense? You got to chew on it. There's a lot to chew. You got to draw out a lot of these scriptures. Heavenly Father, we just come to you and ask your richest blessings upon our day. Lord, help us to understand where our brethren are, those who know Christ as their Savior, those who have labored earnestly here on this earth for Christ, that, Lord, they are at rest in the bosom of Abraham. And Abraham is our father just as much as he's the Jews' father. Biologically, the Jews call him father. We call him father by spiritual implication, because we are his children by faith. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to understand these things, grasp these things. And Lord, this truth, would be restored in the churches and understand that we just don't go to heaven. There is an interim state before we ascend into the clouds with the Lord, because then we will inherit the earth after the tribulation period is over. We will be here on this earth for 1,000 years, and then we will be on the new earth for all eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ, but the Heavenly Father will remain in the third heaven. Help us to understand those things, Lord, that they may be hard to grasp, and understand that there's an interim state. Lord, we love you. We want to serve you. Lord, forgive us where we fail thee. Lord, get a hold of our hearts. Get a hold of our mind. Lord, help us to be the servant you want us to be. And give us the strength to do that, to speak, to not faint, to share the gospel of Christ with others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You've been listening to Pastor Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church. Join us every Sunday morning here on Freedom 95 at 7:30 and Sunday service at 10 a.m. Currently meeting at the Cambria Hotel, 13500 Tegler Drive, Noblesville, where you will hear the hard-hitting truths found in the Word of God, unabashedly proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ and His coming kingdom from the inerrant and infallible King James Bible, the true voice of freedom. Please join us again next week, in person and right here on Freedom 95.